Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times, He's the God in the bad times. He's still God in the day, and He's still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on a mountain. Talk comes easy when life's at its best. But it's down in those valleys of trials and temptation that's when faith is really put to the test. Well, the God of the mountain, He's still God in the valley. Oh, when things go wrong, He'll make them all right. And the God of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. Well, He's God of the day, and He's still God in the night. He's the God of the day, and He's the God in the night.
Amen, Ray. Thank you so much for that inspiring song. You know, and as always, I'm sure everyone that was listening was blessed. You know, there's people who can sing, and it doesn't do a whole lot for me because they're doing it strictly from a learned talent. But I'm telling you, Ray, I appreciate that you allow the anointing to move upon you. And you know, we have a lot of exciting things coming our way in the next few months, a lot of exciting plans. And this week we're going to start talking about gifts and giftings. And you know, we have a lot of things that we want to do for the Lord. And some of them is that we want to be able to come and visit with the people who are listening to our broadcast. And so, Ray, I think maybe you have something you want to say about that.
Hey, I just want everyone to know that we're available for weekend services. Hey, folks, hey, we'd love to come and bless you. And we're looking for a new year to bring us plenty of bookings.
Amen.
If you'd like for us to come, just preach, teach, sing, fellowship with you, love you, listen at the end of the program, and our announcer will give you our contact information. Okay, Pam, so what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, like I said, You know, the last couple of weeks, we had talked about the divine destiny. I think we actually talked about it for 12 or so weeks.
Amen.
And so this week, we're going to begin to talk about the gifts that are in the body of Christ. And Raymond, I have good news for everybody. God gave everybody a gift or gifts, you know. And so we have to have those gifts to be able to fulfill our divine destiny.
That's right, Pam. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, for he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans that will give you a hope and a future. Notice the verse says that he has plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. We know he has gifted us to fulfill these plans.
And Ray, as we get into this study, we're going to find out that there's three categories of gifts enumerated in the scriptures, and they're all found in the New Testament, and each group is unique and distinct from the others. Let's look at 1 Peter 4 and 10, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, as each of you have received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as benefits, good trustees of God's many-sided grace,
yes,
faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. You know, in this verse, it states that every believer has been given a gift.
Amen.
But I like that it says that we're to use those gifts. In fact, it doesn't just state, it commands that we're to use those gifts for the benefit of others. And we can be confident that God would not command us to use something that we do not possess. But how, you know, people say, well, how did I get it? Well, okay. If you look up the Greek word charisma, it's the word for gift, which means a divine gratuity.
Amen.
It also means a spiritual endowment. And I like this. It's a free gift.
Well, I like the free gift.
Yeah. So this is not something we can earn. The command is not to try to deserve it, but the command is to use it right. This kind of gift is a possession, something already given to each one of us by God at our creation.
Okay, Pam, let's look at the different groups of gifts found in the New Testament. The first group are the manifestation gifts. Now, folks, listen real close. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. And then to another, the wonder-working faith is by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. And then to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and the purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between, now notice this, the utterances of true spirits. That's what it's meaning. And false ones. It determines and discerns whether they're good or not. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret it, such tongues. 1 Corinthians, if you'll find this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10.
And that was read from the Amplified Bible.
Yes, it was. Amen.
Now, I'm going to go back and list out these gifts that were listed there. The first one was the word of wisdom.
Amen.
Which is a revelation of, it's a revelation of wisdom,
yes,
beyond natural human wisdom.
This is the
that enables a person to know what to do or say.
Yes. Amen.
The second gift there was the word of knowledge.
Absolutely.
A revelation of information for a person, group, or situation that could not have been known by any natural means.
Amen.
The third one was faith.
Faith.
The kind of wonder-working faith that moves mountains and waits expectantly for results. The fourth one listed was the gifts of healing. The many different ways and varieties.
Yes.
Thank you, Ray. Of degrees which God manifests healing.
Amen.
The fifth one there was the working of miracles, the demonstration of the power and action of God that goes beyond natural laws.
Uh-huh.
The sixth one was prophecy, which is an anointed proclamation of God through an individual to encourage, exhort, or comfort.
So prophecy includes not only anointed proclamation, but it's to encourage.
Yes.
Amen. Always going to be for the good.
It's always for the good.
Yes.
And number seven was the discerning of spirits. And this is, the church wants to put this, there's a lot of churches that want to put this down.
Uh-huh.
But it's very, very important that the people that operate in this allow it to work, because here's what it does. It's a person's ability to perceive what type of spirit is in operation in a given situation. Right.
Good.
And number eight is various kinds of tongues, which is the language given to believers by the Holy Ghost, but not learned or understood by the speaker.
Amen.
But God is not a God of confusion. There's tongues given out in a congregation, he also gave interpretation of tongues as one of these gifts.
Right.
And it's the supernatural ability to express the content of what has been spoken in tongues.
In other words, it's supposed to line up. Everything lines up with what word has come forth. In other words, it's not just something spoken off in another
La-la land
somewhere.
Yeah, something that makes no sense.
Yeah,
and
it don't fit with the service.
Right,
for sure.
It's going to be in agreement with what God has going on.
Amen.
And now, Raymond, these nine gifts are called the manifestation gifts.
Amen.
Because Paul used the Greek word phanerosis, meaning an exhibition, expression, or manifestation.
Amen.
Now, Paul defined these as supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit at work through a believer. So any number of people could operate in these gifts because they're a manifestation of the Holy Spirit working through a believer.
Amen. And Pam, the second group of these are the ministry gifts. Folks, write these down if you can, or get in them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. In the Amplified Bible now, we're reading this. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some, to be apostles, their special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Then there's evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, and then pastors, shepherds of a flock, and teachers. His intentions was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints.
That's right.
That's his consecrated people. That they should, do the work of ministering toward building up. Not tearing down.
No, building up.
Building up Christ's body, who is the church. The word for gift here is doma, D-O-M-A, meaning a present. After Jesus ascended to the Father, he presented gifts of people who were called and gifted to lead and train the rest of the body of Christ.
Amen. And if you paid attention as Ray was reading that, you discovered that there's five ministry gifts listed in this passage. There's the apostle. He's the one who establishes and strengthens churches.
Amen.
Then there's the prophet, and he's the one who speaks forth the message of God.
Amen.
Then you have the evangelist, and he's the one who's called to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And like in the Amplified, it says he's like a traveling missionary. In other words, he goes from body to body, exhorting and encouraging the people. And then you have the pastor, and he's the one who tends and shepherds the believers. And then we also have the teacher, who is the one who instructs believers in the Word of God.
Amen.
And most of the time, the pastor-teacher is lumped together.
Right.
But there are actually two separate ministry gifts.
Right.
Now, these five gifts, right, might equally be called, as you read, equipping gifts.
Amen.
Because they're supposed to be for enabling the saints, or we would say today, the believers, to do the work of the ministry. Why? So that Christ's body on earth, which is the church, can function as his true representatives.
Amen. And Pam, the third group now are the motivational gifts.
Amen.
Romans 12, 6 through 8 in the Amplified reading, having gifts, in parentheses here, it's written, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, then let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, let him give himself to teaching. He who exhorts, that's encouraging, to his exhortation. He who contributes, that let him do in simplicity and liberty. Amen. A giver is going to do it liberal.
Yeah.
He who gives aid and supertends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy. Now, this is people that is a giver. Now, notice, with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness.
Wow.
And so, charisma is the Greek word used here, meaning gracious joy gifts.
Gracious joy gifts. I like that. Now, when Ray read all that, you'll find that there are seven gifts listed here.
Yes.
The first one was the perceiver.
Now, this is the motivational gift.
Right. And he's the one who clearly perceives the will of God.
Amen.
And then we heard about the server. He's the one who lives. Now, I like the way this,
I
wrote that
too.
Down.
I like this one.
The one who lives to serve others.
Amen.
Or we could use another word. They're the doers.
Yeah.
Then we have the teacher. Now, this is different from in the body because this person likes to research and communicate the truth.
Amen.
And then we have the exhorter, and he's the one who loves to encourage others to live a victorious life. And these type of people are extremely positive people, and they also could be called encouragers.
Amen.
And then we have the giver, and they're the ones who live. Now, like this too, Ray. It says they're the one who live to give time, talent,
energy
and means to benefit others and advance the gospel. And I know that's not right here, but, you know, the enemy wants us to think that to be a giver, all it involves is money, but it involves a whole lot of other things.
More than money.
You know. Can you give him 10% of your day? Can you give him all of your talent? Are you willing to use your energy for him? Anyway, we won't get there because I could preach. But it's all to be used to benefit others and to advance the gospel.
Amen.
Or they could be called contributors. Then we have the administrators. You know, Raymond, have you ever thought about what the world would be like if you didn't have somebody that could organize, lead, or direct? We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we?
We sure
would. And so these are the people who love to do those things. They love to organize. They love to lead. They love to direct. And so they could be called the facilitators or the leaders.
Amen.
And then all of those together would be nothing if you didn't have the compassionate person.
Amen.
Who are those who show compassion, love, and care to those who are in need. And you know, we say compassion instead of mercy,
yes,
because this is the word that we use in our today language. Anyway, remember that whether or not you're operating in the motivation gifts, the ministry gifts, or the manifestation gifts, if you don't do it in love.
Love is so important.
God's agape love, then you're doing nothing. You know, read the 13th chapter,
yes,
of 1 Corinthians. It says it's like a sounding brass,
yes,
and a tinkling
there
cymbal.
You go.
Anyway, and so what we're going to do for the next several weeks, we're going to focus in on the motivational gifts and the ministry gifts.
Amen.
And I want to say again, Raymond, the good news is,
yes,
that everyone has a motivational gift. No one has been left out.
That's right. Every believer does.
Because 1 Corinthians 4:10, New American Standard Version Bible says, as each one has received a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Right. And Pam, Romans 12:6-8 says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophesy, according to the proportion of his faith. So when you feel that you're to prophesy, you do it according to the proportion of your faith.
Amen.
If service, if you're serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, in serving, you do it in service. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, give it liberally. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness.
I like that.
Seven motivational or motivating gifts. That's what we're talking about. Each one of us receives one, or you can receive more. So what do we do with them? Well, we're commanded to use our gifts to benefit others.
Amen.
Number two, our gift was built into us when God formed us.
Amen. And, you know, like we did with the Divine Destiny series, we will prove these things that we're saying with the Word of God.
Amen.
And that last one, the gift was built into us when God formed us.
That's right.
Is proven in Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16.
Amen.
And it says, for you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb.
Amen.
I will confess and praise you, for you are fearfully, wonderfully, and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inward self knows right well.
Amen.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors. In the depth of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery, your eyes, now listen, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, all the days of my life were written before they took shape, when as yet there was none of them.
Amen.
Amen. So God already knew us, and he already had a perfect plan,
yes, a divine destiny,
yes, set out for us. So we can rest assured he has gifts that he's already placed within us.
Amen.
And that takes us to number three, and that is that our gift can be observed in childhood. Proverbs 22:6 tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen. That's in Proverbs 22:6.
That's right.
In the King James Version.
Right. And what does the Amplified say?
The Amplified Bible reads this way. It gives us a better insight. And here's what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and then in keeping with his individual gift, are bent. And then when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The original Hebrew included the insight that each child has a gift, a motivation gift, and a bent, which is direction to be fulfilled by using his motivation gifts. We as parents then have a responsibility to discover that our child's giftedness and to train him up in it. You'll see that as you're raising your children, you're going to see that in them. And to encourage them as they develop that gift, so that when he comes of age, he'll be using that giftedness to the glory of God and for his own true fulfillment.
And you know, Ray, we're not to neglect our gift.
Amen.
It says in the Word, it says, neglect not the gift, the charisma that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery.
Amen.
You know, the interlinear Greek English New Testament brings out an interesting translation. It says, be not negligent of the in thee gift.
Yes.
Which was given thee through prophecy with the laying on the hands of the elderhood. The original Greek refers to the in thee gift, which indicates that the gift was already in Timothy when the elders prayed for him.
Yes.
And the Greek word for gifts is didomi, or it's D-I-D-O-M-I. I'm not good at speaking Greek, which means that it was included to be brought forth, shown, or uttered.
Yes.
And what the elders did when they ordained him was to encourage him to use that gift that was already in him.
Amen.
But most important is the fact that to neglect our gift is to neglect God's purpose and plan for our lives. You know, each of us has an in thee gift.
Oh, yes.
And like Timothy, we need to use it for the glory of God and for the benefit of others.
You see, our gift colors all we see. Our gift colors all we see. Get that, folks? If you put on a pair of sunglasses, all you will see is colored accordingly. So it is with a person's motivational gift.
That's right, Ray. And you know, we got a lot more to say, but it looks like our time has just about run out.
Wow, that's a quick 30 minutes.
This is an exciting study that we're doing here.
Wow.
You know, but we've got to leave time for our announcer to come back and tell them how to contact us. Now, next week, we're going to pick up with these motivational gifts, and we're going to get into depth about these six things.
Amen.
That you need to know about, and to find out which one are you and how does God want to use you in your giftings. And so here's our announcer to tell you how to get in touch with us, and we'll be with you again next week.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries, again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6:24-26.